97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
What up? Welcome in, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Another week. Here we are, 8 days from the late signing period. Louisiana Tech recruiting is in full force. The Bulldogs actually picked up three commitments since we last spoke. First things first, how you doing tonight, Beck?
Pretty good, BC. Glad to be here. We got a pretty good show on deck. We got
absolutely
some,
a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about, and we got some big timers coming in. You want to talk about that?
Absolutely. 6:30. We'll be joined by Mike Dettillier. We had Mike on last year, football analyst from South Louisiana. We're going to talk a little bit of Louisiana Tech recruiting. If you know anything about Mike, he's real sharp in what he does, whether it be high school, college, or the professional ranks. He knows what he's doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about the South Louisiana commitments that Tech has. Devon Smoke Harris, Derek Turner, who we'll get to in a minute, Isaiah Windman, Xavier Lodge, Taj McGee, and Wayne Toussaint. Those are the six players that Tech has from South Louisiana. Some of these guys, Windman, Lodge, McGee, and Toussaint, are already signed, with Harris and Turner being commitments at the moment. At 7 o'clock, we're going to talk to Lady Techster head coach Brooke Storr. She's doing a great job in year two as the head coach of the Lady Techsters, 13-8, 4-4 in league play. I know they had a tough loss Sunday afternoon to Western Kentucky. We'll catch up with her, see what she has to say about her Lady Techsters, maybe a little bit what she's more comfortable with in year two is leading the program, kind of what she sees that the Lady Techsters need to do heading down the stretch in conference play. So those are our two guests for tonight. As always, we'd love to hear from you on the Fairway Carts hotline or the text line. Either way, we'd love to hear from you, 888-993-7762. You text it, you call us, we'll talk about it. This is your show, Louisiana Tech Athletics. I know there's a lot going on, like we mentioned in the open, but we're excited. Fun show planned, like you mentioned, Beck. What are some things tonight that you think, maybe we should touch on? Of course, recruiting, but I know Tech basketball picked up a big win over Southern Miss. Some things that you have on your mind for tonight.
Well, we got in regards to Tech baseball, we got a lot of new faces this year. You made that comment. Yep. You went to practice the other day. I think last year was a ton, and the year before was a ton of fun for me, and I know a lot of my friends that really got into Tech baseball, and there was some record crowds. And with that comes some new faces. Obviously, some of our seniors moved on and people go into the draft and such. So it'd be good to talk a little bit about Tech baseball. We may need to get the people fired up, get some bios or something. We got to learn about these kids.
Like you said, a lot of new faces. I think right now Coach Burrows, he's in year two. We'll have him on. I know we got two more shows after tonight left in season 10 of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I think, maybe next week or the following week we'll make an effort to get Coach Burrows on, along with head softball coach Mark Montgomery. I know the Lady Techster softball program was predicted preseason to finish number one in Conference USA. Coach Montgomery's doing an outstanding job. So we'll work to get both those guys on in the coming weeks. 44 guys, like I was just saying, on the Diamond Dog baseball roster right now. Of course, you got to get down to that 35 number by opening day. So, nine guys that are with the program right now won't be come opening day. But 26 new faces for Coach Burrows and his team. We saw it a couple of years ago with Coach Goff and how he molded those guys into becoming a really good team. But, man, a tall task for Coach Burrows this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're essentially starting over. You know, you don't have a ton of – you have, what is it?
Five seniors.
Five seniors gone that were starters.
No. I think you lose about 16 seniors off of last year's roster.
Okay, you're saying only five on the squad this year.
This year, yeah, and only one returning starter from a position standpoint, shortstop Skelton. Dalton Skelton, so –
That's a lot. That's, like you said, a tall task. It'll be exciting to see that this year, just to see the chemistry they can play together. I know in the past it's just been a bunch of fun to watch those guys. You almost knew when it was coming. A lot of late-game bombs and that sort of thing. So we'll see who the heavy hitters are this year, and it'll be interesting to just to get to know those guys.
Yeah, and just looking at the baseball season a little bit further, right out of the gate, Tech's going to be challenged. You go on the road to play a perennial power out in Malibu, California, Pepperdine. You normally think of road trips as a three-game trip. Well, I got some news for you. This one's a four-game trip in 3 days, doubleheader on Saturday the 17th. So, you know, right out of the gate, Tech's going to be challenged. And, you know, I think that's good. It's a team that, like we said, a lot of new faces. But as we'll get into with Coach Burrows in the coming weeks, they're not lacking for talent. He did a great job in this recruiting class. And I'm excited to see these guys when they get into some game action, as well as some returners. When you look at, you know, on the mound, Kent Hasler, Graham Ulrich, Casey Sullivan, you know, Tyler Folis was a freshman a year ago. Matt Miller was a kid that came on late. They got some experience on the mound, but I think, you know, 8 through 12, that's where Tech really lacked on the mound in that relief role, maybe a third starter role as well. So we'll see how the season pans out. 27 home games. When you look at March 2nd through the 4th, Tech will travel over to Frisco. It seems like, you know, Bulldog country is in Frisco, having been just at the Frisco Bowl on December 20th. Baseball team makes the trip over March 2nd through the 4th, and then the following week, the Duncan Dogs and the Lady Texters will make their way over to Frisco for the Conference USA Championships. But in Frisco, they'll have a chance to play a quality Texas A&M team, a quality California team, a quality Baylor team. You look at those three schools, three Power Five, call it what you want. You know, they're going to be tested right out of the gate with Pepperdine. Then I know they, you know, have an easier week with SIU Edwardsville coming down from, you know, in Illinois. But, you know, two out of the first 3 weeks is really going to provide this team with a lot of challenges. But I'm excited to see what Coach Burrows does in year two, having won 36 games a year ago, right on the cusp of a second consecutive NCAA tournament berth.
How many wins in a season do you think, in order to consider a success for Burrows in his second year? I mean, obviously we would like to, you know.
Well, you look at the turnover that they had with losing so many different guys. Picked seventh in the preseason. I failed to mention that when we opened up talking about this, but I'm excited to see. You know, I think if you're projected seventh in the league out of 12 teams, you're probably projected 500 in the conference. I think you have to expect to play 600 ball outside of league play. You know, the last 2-3 years, Tech's been really, really good in the midweek games. Obviously, with some big challenges, you look at McNeese State, you'll play them twice. You look at, you know, Louisiana Monroe with their new head coach, Mike Federico. You have to figure they'll be improved. Little Rock's never a pushover. Northwestern State, you know, it's not easy to travel to Natchitoches. Probably not a program that's up to Tech's caliber, but I don't think I'd mark that as two midweek wins by any means. Obviously, you expect to beat Grambling twice. You look at April the 10th, Tech travels to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. I know that's an exciting game. You know, for both LSU fans and Tech fans, Tech will travel to Louisiana Lafayette. Lafayette will come up here just like years past. I think you'll see a huge crowd against Lafayette like we do every year. I have a question for you, Beck. You know, you're generally, you know, a fan. You know, that was your thing that you said way back at your first show.
I'm your average fan.
Yeah, you're your average fan. I can't overstate, obviously, I'm a little biased. I'm a former baseball player, but having the Love Shack packed out, having the heel packed out in right field, people all over the apartments in left field, That's one heck of an atmosphere.
It is unbelievable. I'll tell you, I was on a business trip last year and was going to miss one of those Mississippi State games that we had at home. And I got back to the office, and you know, it was 6:30, and I guess the game started at 6, and I just hustled to get to the stadium. And it was, I mean, I couldn't park within a mile of that place, and it was cool. It was unbelievable to see it packed in the stands, and then people in the outfield, and I got to sit in the outfield with some friends, and the train was going by. People are in hammocks in the outfield. It's just it's the excitement, the buzz around baseball, which we have seen just a general uptick, I would say, just in tech sports
in the last two years.
So
for baseball.
For baseball, for sure, and even like with football and basketball. Or, I mean, you know, like those tech's moving up, and this is what – and, you know, those midweek games – like, we saw LSU drop a few of those last year at the beginning of the season. Everybody was like, oh, man, you know.
Yeah.
So, those are big games, and we picked up some last year, some big midweek.
Went over Arkansas.
So, that's what I love about baseball is just some of those big.
I just like the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's just those midweek games can be a blast. So
yeah, absolutely.
As your average fan, you know, and like I said, like I like to say, I'm average in my knowledge, not my love for tech.
Yeah.
But it's
average opinions.
Average opinions that may or may not be backed up with any credible, you know, facts. But
yeah, so you know, like we're saying, make sure you stay tuned. BleedTechBlue.com. We mention it week in, week out. Just $9.95 a month. We've already started breaking down the baseball season. We had a little mini season preview. We'll have more coming up on the site as well. Shifting things to men and women's hoops. Dunkin' Dogs pick up a big win over Southern Miss. We'll get to that more at 6:45. Three straight home wins. They head to Florida Atlantic Thursday night, Florida International Saturday. Dunkin' Dogs are up to a tie for seventh in the league, 4-5 overall. Not really where we all expected to be, what we've grown to expect on a year-in and year-out basis, but we'll touch on, you know, everything that's gone wrong, all the injuries, you know, bunch of freshmen playing big minutes here in conference play, but Tech's just, you know, one game behind UAB for fifth. You look at two games behind Marshall for third, so they're climbing their way up in the standings. We'll talk at 6:45, like I said, about where we think the Dunkin' Dogs can climb up to, you know, from a standings perspective. You know, obviously it all boils down to what you do come March in Frisco, Texas. You got to win three games in 3 days, hopefully, if you get that bye to the quarterfinals, but maybe not. Might have to be 4-4 games. But I know you and I were at the game Saturday night, and great atmosphere, I thought, for the whiteout, and it's fun to see this team playing much, much better after such a struggle to open conference play.
Yeah, and especially seeing Boykins going 6 for 6 to start the game. That was – he just couldn't miss, man. He was falling away in the corner. He was 3 feet behind the line. It was an electric atmosphere for sure in Tech.
Yeah, and then women's basketball, I know we'll catch up with Coach Brooks Storr at 7 p.m., but the Lady Texters split two games this past weekend, a win at home against a rival – program Old Dominion before losing Sunday afternoon to Western Kentucky. That Western Kentucky team is leading Conference USA 7-1 in conference play. But Brooks doing a good job, 13-8 overall, 4-4 in league play. Not entirely out of the race, three games back. I think there's eight games left to play. So hopefully they can continue to play better. Just a few more quick things before we get to our first timeout. Cedric Cooper. Former Bulldog safety, first team all conference. You've seen him. Great Bulldog who really got better, you know, every year over his career. Got a late call to the Senior Bowl that was held this past weekend in Mobile. I think he actually flew in the night before the game. Don't even think he was able to wear his Tech helmet. I think he was just wearing the basic white
helmet.
Yeah,
he was. Why was he? What was the deal with the late call?
I think there was an injury.
An injury.
Yeah, and he got to take a guy's place. Ends up pulling down an interception, which is always nice to see. And you know, good for him.
Yeah, it was good. It was a skill. I mean, it was twinkle toes in the end zone.
Yeah, he got 2 feet down. And final thing before we get to a timeout, Beck. I know you had the privilege of seeing a good friend of yours today. Just give our listeners a little insight into who you got to see.
Ben, I think we need to leave them on a cliffhanger. It was good. I think the fans will be they'll be excited to hear about this.
Yeah, so we'll use that as a tease as we head to our first timeout. Coming up after the break, we'll break down Beck's big friend that he saw this afternoon, former Louisiana Tech Bulldog. We'll talk a little bit of Tech recruiting, the three commitments that the Bulldogs had this weekend, and who knows, we might get into some Conference USA coaching. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Whatever you're doing this year, Fairway Carts in Minden has the vehicle you need. From an easy-go golf cart in gas or electric for the lengths or around the neighborhood, to easy-go utility carts for tough jobs, to whisper-quiet bad boy buggies for the silent dependability hunters need most, Fairway Carts delivers. Plus a complete line of parts and accessories to make your choice one of a kind. Fairway Carts. Proud to support Tech Athletics. Visit us in Minden or online at fairwaycarts.net.
The new year is here, so let's start something new at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Starting this year, any new or used purchase from Brennan Dodge will come with oil changes free for life. That's right, your new or used car from Brennan Dodge will come with free oil changes for as long as you own your car. Just our way of saying thank you for the many years of support this community has shown us. And the all-new Jeep Wrangler is just a few weeks away. So don't miss a chance to test drive the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Let's start something new this year at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Before we got to the break, we teased it a little bit. Beck had the opportunity to catch up with a former Bulldog who was in town today. Beck, fill our listeners in on your big friend that you met around town today.
BC, I was sitting in my office this morning, and I thought to myself, I need a haircut. So called up my hair. Can I say where? Is that like an unauthorized corporate sponsor?
You're good.
I went to Rumo's to get my haircut today. I'm sitting there enjoying a chat with my barber, and about two chairs down, I hear a familiar voice, BC, and I think to myself, could it be? Is it true? I said, no, can't be. He's halfway around the world. About 5 minutes later, he stands up, and I'm literally blown away.
Who was it?
I can't. Just wait. You got to wait. Stands up, starts walking out the door, pays his barber, starts walking out the door. I don't know if we made eye contact. I don't know if, you know, what it was.
Probably not.
But he recognized me. Friend of a friend. The great Colby Cameron is in town.
Nice to hear.
I don't know why.
Sunshine's back.
He's back. I asked him how he was doing. He said he was good. Said he's playing ball over in Japan. Loving it.
Tearing it up from what I hear.
Tearing it up.
I think he won another league championship this year.
I mean, Colby Cameron, the captain. I'm not of that 2012 offense, which, Ben, let's be real, this wouldn't be Bleed Tech Blue Radio if I didn't mention the 2012 offense.
And that's funny how we joked around before the show. You always...
I can't help it.
You always mention the 2012 offense. I just wonder when you're going to start mentioning the 2016 offense that had the two best receivers, the best receiving duo in college football history. But, hey, maybe you're a Quentin Patton fan.
51 points a game. Undefeated, never lost, except those three games we didn't win. Tragically ended by the absence of a bowl game.
Yeah.
But I digress.
That was pretty tragic.
I would have loved to be on the radio. That would have been lots to talk about.
I can't imagine what our old friend Jonathan Ford had to say about that. But it's always...
Probably some really generic opinion.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely. If we know anything about Jay Ford, you know, who knows? He might have went ham.
Nonetheless, it was good to see Colby. Glad he's back in town. He looks good. Miss him around here.
Yeah, it's always nice to see former Bulldogs. And I know Colby, you know, he really enjoyed his time here in Ruston.
Right.
Just the example, and, you know, I don't want to get sentimental and make you tear up, but it was nice to see him progress at the position throughout his 4 years. You know, he wasn't even starting, if you remember, his redshirt junior year when we had the young phenom Nick Isham slinging it all over the yard before Colby Cameron eventually took that team over, took the reins. But it's always nice to see a good story like him. I know he had a brief opportunity with the Carolina Panthers before taking his talents to Japan and becoming a living legend.
Like you said, Ben, it was good to see him progress. I heard stories about, I don't know if it was his sophomore year when he first got a chance to play, but him being so nervous before the game, he threw up in the locker room, and then to see him just go that long and have that, you know, pass attempts without interception record,
yeah,
and that's be so cool successful record with that offense and start off every game with a 70-yard bomb to Quentin Patton.
Flea flicker.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, so Colby Cam back in town. Beck saw him. Beck talked to him. Give Beck some props.
Always inside information you only get here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Absolutely. Inside info for sure. So let's talk a little bit recruiting. Last time we talked, Louisiana Tech had 17 commitments in this class. This past weekend, or past week, since we were last on the air, Tech actually picked up 4 commitments. Only 3 are with the public. You'll have to join us at bleedtechblue.com, $9.95 a month, to, you know, find out the final name. But nice pickup. The 3 guys that Tech added, we'll start, we'll go chronological order. Athlete is what he's listed on our rival site. Derek Turner, safety out of St. Francisville. I know Sean and I talked about it just before the end of the sports company. Derek's the 50th rated prospect in the state. I know he held some pretty big offers when you look at TCU, Missouri, Auburn. These are, you know, legit offers. But Coach Holtz and his staff continue to show their ability to pull in some quality recruits.
And recently a new state champ, too.
Really?
West Feliciana, is that what?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did.
He's a winner.
He is a winner. You can't fault
him and Smoke Harris, who we're hoping we can secure.
Yeah, Smoke Harris, teammate at West Feliciana, is also a commitment. So, like we mentioned, big pickup with Derek Turner. I think he's expected to play safety at the collegiate level. Like I mentioned, Auburn, Kansas State, you know, Ole Miss, Missouri. I know it's reported on our site that he's scheduled to visit Missouri this weekend. We have the inside scoop on that. We'll see what happens. Join us at bleedtechblue.com for the latest. He also has a South Carolina offer. So as you can tell, Derek Turner, 5'11", 185. He's the real deal. Nice pickup for the Bulldogs. Louisiana Tech also picked up big offensive tackle. Walker Hankinson, out of the San Antonio area, Alamo Heights. Good friend of ours is actually from the San Antonio area. I don't know if you remember him, Matt Nelson.
Matt Nelson. I was actually going to talk about Matt Nelson later in the show.
Really?
Yeah, you got a good question on our little sheet here, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, but Walker Hankinson, 2-star prospect. I know he was originally committed to Rice. Recently visited Louisiana Tech back on January 20th. Tech picked up his commitment this past, I want to say Saturday, maybe Sunday. Nice add for the Bulldogs. Obviously, I don't think he's expected to contribute right away. Tech was able to secure his commitment over SMU. Sonny Dykes, we continue to beat you.
I wonder what swayed him, tipped him over the edge.
You know, that's a good question. And
you got a thought on that, Ben?
Yeah, it's a good question of what, you know, what are recruits saying or seeing that it's really drawing them to Louisiana Tech this day and time. You look at 20 commitments. Tech continues. You know, I feel like this might be the best class Tech has ever had. And you go back to last night, I was just scrolling through Twitter, and you see Bulldog signee, cornerback Broderick Calhoun. You know, he tweets out, "I'm telling y'all, if you have an offer from Louisiana Tech, you better commit and get on the bus to Ruston, Louisiana. I promise you it's a special place to be." Not only with the commit of Hankinson, Derek Turner, Stephen Shaw Jr., who we'll get to here in a second, it's clear to me that, you know, the last 4 years, Tech won 9 games. They've won 4 straight bowl games. 3 of those years were 9-win seasons. A big 51-10 victory over SMU in the Frisco Bowl. The culture's changing here. You know, whether fans are showing up, 25, 30,000 fans a night, folks are beginning to realize that Skip Holtz, for one, can coach. I think it's pretty clear that his staff, led by Joe Sloan, who's the recruiting coordinator, along with Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, can flat-out recruit. This is coming from Broderick Calhoun, who's a cornerback commit, which we failed to mention in the open. Tech lost their cornerbacks coach, Kevin Curtis. He's taking the same position at SMU.
As far as I'm concerned, Amik Robertson can coach them cornerbacks up. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, had a pretty solid freshman year. But, you know, that's a cornerback that hasn't wavered in his commitment now that, you know, obviously he's signed. But, you know, Tech is really, really recruiting extremely well. So, I think, you know, you pick up a commitment all the way from San Antonio. Yeah, it's San Antonio. It's whatever, 7, 8, 9 hours, whatever you want to call it. That's a long way from home for a lot of kids, especially for a kid like Hankinson, who was previously committed to Rice. Obviously, Rice has some quality academics. SMU has some quality academics as well. So it seems like, you know, that's his main focus. Rice fires their coach, David Bailiff. They pick up a new coach in Mike Bloomgren, former offensive coordinator at Stanford. And, you know, he doesn't stick by his commitment. He ends up at Louisiana Tech. I think that goes to show you a lot about what this staff is doing and how they continue to enhance the Tech brand.
Yeah, this is – I don't know if you saw that tweet the other day, but I saw one. Somebody was talking about our Tech's recruiting class and how it's better than some of
those. A lot of Power Fives.
Yeah, and so yeah. I think this is a time that – for Tech fans to really be excited, and I think things are changing. I think the culture is changing. I think, like you said, Skip is doing a great job recruiting.
I had lunch with a guy yesterday, huge Louisiana Tech contributor, and you talk about, you know, what is it going to take for fans to show up to the Joe, 25, 30,000, you know, regardless of record, regardless of opponent. And, you know, I think it's, you pull one of those 12-0 seasons out of the bag, you know, that's going to do it, you know, right, the following year for sure. But a lot of it is Techs continue to enhance their facilities. You look at the Davison Athletic Complex. You look at the new press box that was put in. That continues to attract quality recruits. I've had guys tell me that they've taken visits to TCU and they're no nicer than what Louisiana Tech has. Now, they might have a few more gadgets, but nothing they have is nicer than what Tech has. And I think that says a lot about what Les Geis and athletic director Tommy McClellan have done just in the last 3-4 years.
Right. And I think it's a lot easier to convince a recruit that to jump on board and be a part of us, of Tech building something, when you can show them the facilities that
– well. And look at Oregon. When Oregon had 55 different football jerseys, they're number one in the country.
Right.
You know, kids like nice, shiny, new things.
Right. And when, all like for the gram, baby.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
And when you can show that stuff off, you're going to continue to get better and better players.
Right, and I think also it just shows them that the community and the alumni, they're committed to building the program up. And so when you're able to bring them in and show them facilities, man, I'm a big environment person.
Well, hold
myself.
Hold on. We have a text to address. Unnamed text in. Win the close games. Don't play to not lose, and I'll be there. Well, Mr. Unnamed, I think we need you in the Joe regardless. Louisiana Tech continues to win year after year. 4 straight bowl wins. I'm impressed. I really am impressed with what Coach Holtz has done with his staff. Final commitment that Louisiana Tech picked up this week was actually yesterday. Defensive end out of Manville, Texas, which is a little south of Houston. Stephen Shaw, 6'5", 255 pounds, going to play defensive end for the Bulldogs. He also held offers from the likes of Connecticut, Kansas, UTSA, Tulane, and it's always nice to beat out the Raging Cajuns from Lafayette. So, nonetheless, positive week for Louisiana Tech on the recruiting front. You can always join us at BleedTechBlue.com for just $9.95 a month. As we continue to break down the final targets in this class, I think there's a few more names that Tech's going to add. I'll put it to you that way. You can join us at BleedTechBlue.com. We're going to go ahead and get to our second timeout after the break. We'll speak with Mike Dettillier. We'll talk some a little bit more Tech recruiting. We'll take a look at Tech's South Louisiana prospects that are signed to play for the Bulldogs. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. you're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. We're now joined on the Fairway Carts Hotline by football analyst Mike Dettillier. Nice to have you on tonight, Mike. How you doing?
My pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Just first things first, Louisiana Tech has continued to pull recruits out of that South Louisiana area. I know that two favorites of Bulldog fans up here in Ruston are two West Feliciana kids that I know you've had the opportunity to see in Devon Smoke Harris and a recent commitment, Derek Turner. Give Bulldog fans a little bit of insight on what these two guys will be bringing when their talents come to Ruston.
Well, I got a couple of opportunities to watch them play. And, I thought I was at a small college convention. I mean, they had, you know, coaches from Southeastern, McNeese, Nichols, Grambling, you name it, they were there. Devin Harris is an interesting player because if he's 5'11 and a half instead of 5'5 and maybe a little change, we're not talking about this. Just a electrifying football player. Again, short, squatty, be able to just put that body in another gear and just pull away from people. He's a tremendous receiver coming out the backfield. He can certainly help you in the return game. And, again, understanding his size, you can't use him as a heavy-duty guy. But, you know, the game today is all about rotation. And I think that Devin would be tremendous in a rotation deal. He's got a lot of same traits that a running back LSU signed a year ago and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has. Clyde's a little bit bigger, but not that much bigger. And, he's fun to watch. He's just a guy that is a playmaker every time he touches the football. And I think Tech fans are going to love to watch him because, he's a guy that you can do a lot of different things with. One of the things I think you'll see is, and it's kind of coming part and parcel of not only college football but the NFL, is on the jet sweep where you can put him in the slot and just flip him the ball, and he's gone. Only thing I know is you got one shot at him. You know, and he's not a real big guy to find. And he's off. But that's a big pickup for Louisiana Tech to grab him. I know a lot of teams had a lot of interest in Smoke Harris. Derek Turner is a guy that has played sort of that hybrid position where he's close to the line of scrimmage at time, almost like a linebacker. And then a lot of times, too, is you see him deep in coverage. So one of the things West Feliciana did with him is kind of use him down and distance situation type guy. He's got good ball skills. He comes up the field in a flash to make that open field tackle. He's going to physically need to get a little stronger. But what I like about him is his physicality, his ability to play the ball in flight. And I think instantly he's going to help you out on special teams. Man, he's a guy that, he's going to swing that bat when he's going downfield. He's a real aggressive guy. So that those two guys had a ton of people after him. And so that was two big pickups for Louisiana Tech. And, depending on defensively, Turner's got some versatility in that he can play up in the box. But also, too, I was impressed of how well when they slid him back in the deep coverage part of the game, he was playing center field, and he did a nice job.
Yeah, and, I've heard Smoke Harris defined as, maybe the most explosive high school player some people have ever seen. So I think, that goes a lot along with why Tech fans are so excited to see these two. And another one I have a question about is Isaiah Winman. I know he missed his senior year due to an ACL injury from John Arrett down there in the New Orleans area. One of the more intriguing pickups, I think when you look at his size, about 6'2", 190 pounds, I'm not sure he's at Louisiana Tech if he doesn't suffer that knee injury. Phil Bulldog fans in on your thoughts about Winman.
Well, with Isaiah, it's tough when you miss that senior year. He was a guy, they had a lot of teams interested in him. And, when you have that knee injury, and you know what? I saw it happen to Amik Robertson last year. Because I live only about 20 minutes from where Amik played his high school football at Thibodeau. And he hurts his knee, and, man, it looks as though he had caught, the plague or something. Everybody was in reverse. And then late, then everybody was on him. And so Isaiah's a big physical, strong safety guy. Again, a little bit of a guy that's played a lot in the box, a really good open field tackler. He's physically gotten a lot stronger. He's worked with the weights quite a bit, with that time off to try to get himself stronger in that area. But, man, he's a guy that's going to rock you because, he's a little bit under 6'2", and he's in that 190, 195 range, and he comes up the field fast. He's built like a small linebacker. And, in today's game, because of the versatility to move people around a little bit, how quickly he comes back from the knee injury is going to be interesting with him. But one thing I know is he'll hit you. And, again, he's a guy that early on will help you on special teams because he's got no fear when he's out on the field. I mean, he's out there to kind of take people on one-on-one. And he does a really good job for it. So when I watched Windham as a junior, my thing would have been he's a strong safety prospect, guy that'll be a core special teams guy. And you're right. I think had he not had the knee injury, you would have had a lot of SEC or Big 12 schools after him. It is what it is. You have that type of injury, and, you scare some teams off.
And Mike, shifting back over to the offensive side of the ball, Taj McGee. I know he's a brother of former LSU running back Terrence McGee. Played a lot of quarterback in high school at Franklinton. I know he's going to play receiver for Louisiana Tech. Describe his skill set and what he brings to the table at the collegiate level.
He's a slot receiver guy. He's a guy that's real quick off the mark. I think he's going to need a little bit of work as a route runner because that's not what he did, at Franklinton. He was a quarterback, but he's got tremendous open field skills. What you want to do is to get the ball out to him in a flat and just watch him take off because he's got that make-you-miss type ability that's impressive, just like his brother did. He's a little bit bigger than Terrence. And to be honest with you, I think when he's going to grow into that body, he's going to be a 200-pound running wide receiver slash running back where you could use him a couple different ways. And we talked about the jet sweep, and that's another area where I think Taj would, certainly excel at. What I've watched with him, he looks like a slot receiver guy. Need a little bit of work as a route runner. But as a quarterback, you got really good hands, and you know how to make people miss. Either that or you down pretty quickly. Playing quarterback in that system, you got to be able to make people miss out into the open field. So he's an interesting guy, really, really is. And I know before he signed the letter of intent, there were a couple of Texas schools that had eyed him up pretty good, hoping maybe he wouldn't sign in the early period and that they were going to bring him in for a visit. So that was a big catch for Louisiana Tech to grab Taj McGee.
Absolutely. And then looking at Wayne Toussaint out of Plaquemine, when you look at him, you know, he's a smaller guy in that 5'10", 160 range. But when you watch his tape, he can really make you miss in the open field. I know a couple of big schools were after him as well.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. They give him a shot at cornerback. He's got some ball skills that I'm not real sure I wouldn't give him that opportunity. You know, that's such a difficult position when you can get one. And, you know, again, what you saw last year with Amik, his ability to come in and play, and he played all over the board, too, at Thibodeau. Toussaint's sort of done the same thing. I would think initially you maybe think about, I'll give him a shot at the corner position and see how well he can play in reverse, because I know he can play the ball well in flight. Receivers I can get. Man, it's the corner position that's so difficult, because you're playing sometimes three and four corners at one time. You got to be able to match up downfield. So he's a guy that they may try to experiment a little bit with. And Toussaint's a really good athlete, and what you bring up about his ability to make people miss, his quickness. Man, the first couple of days of spring ball or fall football, I'll let see if how well he handles that cornerback's position.
Absolutely. He is going to be fun to watch. And like you said, he could potentially contribute on either side of the ball. And the final guy I have to ask you about tonight, safety Xavier Lodge out of the Baton Rouge area. You know, I watched a little bit of film on him, and he looks like he's another guy that'll really come down and stick you.
Yeah, he's a free safety guy. Again, he's physical. He's not a real big guy. I mean, you know, I think he's probably a little bit under 5'10". You know, they might list him at 180. I think he's probably in the 175 range. But he's, to me, a free safety guy, and that he plays the run very well, and he's a good open field tackler. But it's his ability to sort of run in the middle part of the field to get to a football that is really impressive to me. And I think, you know, when you look at it in today's game, again, it's a matchup situation of where, you know, where's the best fit for a guy like Xavier Lodge? Where's the best fit for a Wayne Toussaint? And we kind of went through the group here, and, you know, we're talking about safeties and cornerbacks and a running back and receivers. The crazy thing is, the hardest position in the world to find today is defensive linemen and linebackers.
Absolutely.
Those guys are gold. Last year, after Coach Orgeron took over the job at LSU, him and I were talking, and one of the things I told him, you know, LSU Tiger fans might not want to hear this, but I think it's true. I got a better shot to find a really good quarterback today than to find an ace pass rusher.
Yeah.
Those guys, where are they? We are kind of living in that world where those type athletes are now playing on offense.
Mike, why do you
think
they're
tight ends, wide receivers? You don't see them as the pass rush people. And that is the hardest thing to grab and get your hands on. Now, you might go JUCO for that, and you can grab some. But they're real difficult, really, really difficult. Or you find a real skinny guy that's 6'4", about 200 pounds, and you project him at that linebacker or defensive end spot. But, you know, I'm impressed in what they were able to get, certainly helping out their secondary and also getting a couple guys in the offensive side, the football, that, you know, once they get the ball in their hands, they're electrifying. And, I, you know, listen, it's all about scoring points today. We talk about defense. Only a few teams can do that and win. You really, today, you better put up points. Because, you know, these teams now are built with the pitch and catch game spreading you out. You got to be able to match up. So it's important for Tech to grab all those corners and safeties to try to match up better downfield.
Mike, why do you think it's so hard to find players at those positions that you talked about? Is it just, like you said, the real athletes are playing other positions, or is it just the lack of size? I mean, what is it that's contributing to not being able to find those pass rushers and linebackers?
Yeah, it's a good question. 7-on-7 changed the world. People might not want to hear it, but it's true. You know, a lot of these guys, they want to play on offense today. And so you got a 6'3" guy who's 210 pounds. Yesteryear, that guy may have played on defense. Today, he's playing wide receiver. You get a big, tall, rangy kid who's 6'4", 6'4½", and 220, he's playing linebacker. Today, he's playing flex tight end, H-back. I mean, so I think that's one of the things is the aftershoot of 7-on-7. It has become very difficult to grab a guy or multiples at that defensive end outside linebacker position. You think about Alabama, the best team in college football last year. They lost Jonathan Allen and Tim Williams. Name me a guy on that team that's as good as Allen and Williams as a pass rusher. Now, Payne is a really good defensive lineman, but his strength is not rushing the quarterback. His strength is playing the run, and he pushes the pocket. So even the best team in college football, they got difficulties finding them. And, again, I think it's an offshoot of what we've seen more and more now when you look at what's happening with 7-on-7 and its evolution down in the deep south where we didn't see this 10 years ago.
Absolutely. And great stuff tonight, Mike. As always, we love having you on. Some expert analysis about some quality high school players down in that South Louisiana. Thanks for coming on with us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike Dettillier, football analyst. He's, Beck, I'll be honest with you, he's probably my favorite interview that we do. It just seems like he provides so much quality information. I know he gets around the southern part of the state and is really able to see a lot of different athletes.
With someone that has average intelligence, it's really refreshing. Average intelligence, sports related, it's a refreshing to hear somebody that knows their stuff and can give some good insight. And he's fun to listen to for sure.
Absolutely. So two segments of recruiting. I think we've got you set. National Signing Day, February 7th, 8 days from today. We'll have you covered. BleedTechBlue.com, just $9.95 a month. We're going to take a quick timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals, under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
We'll be right back. Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Mike Dettillier joined us in the last segment. Louisiana Tech with six commitments, four signed to this point. Definitely some great insight. Beck, you know, I know I mentioned it to Mike in that last segment, but crazy to hear people talk about Davin Smoke Harris as the most electric high school football player they've ever seen.
I'm telling you, I watched him. I told you I have a good buddy that lived in St. Francisville for a while, and so when they were moved to town, he'd pull up the games on the computer because they'd stream them, and I mean I couldn't believe it. I mean, and then I was telling you about it, and you told me that he was a potential commit. So he is explosive, my gosh. So he's a lot of fun to watch. We're hoping that gets finalized and that goes smooth, and we'll get to see him play in the Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we mentioned earlier that Tech had four commitments, with one of those commitments being a silent commitment. Well, the commitment has actually gone public with this commitment. I feel comfortable releasing it. Tech has signed grad transfer kicker Bailey Hale from Eastern New Mexico University. Hale was actually in Ruston this past weekend on a visit. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left. He is a grad transfer, so he's immediately eligible. He'll have an opportunity to potentially replace Jonathan Barnes.
That'll be well received. Do you have any analysis on the other kickers in the program or somebody else that you would have thought?
You know, he'll compete with Brady Farlow, who was brought in a year ago, I believe, from Jones County Junior College. Farlow will be a junior as well. I know Tech fans got to see him punt a lot this past year, along with Davin Dyer. We'll see. We'll see if Hale comes in. I think Farlow was anticipated on being the next kicker, but, you know, Hale's been brought in. There's going to be some competition at the position. We'll see, you know, what happens in the spring and into the fall and what Coach Holtz decides to do with that. One little side note, Hale trained actually with one-on-one kicking, which is also the same institution that trained former Tech punter Ryan Allen, who's actually playing for his third Super Bowl this week. So, hey, if he turns out anything like Ryan Allen, I think Bulldog fans will be happy. I think last year Hale had a long of 48 yards. I think 34 of 62 kickoffs went for touchbacks. So, Bailey Hale, grad transfer kicker, be looking for him come this fall.
Let me ask this question. You had this question written down.
Let me hear it.
You will Tech ever have another Ryan Allen?
Can't see it. Two-time Ray Guy Award winner.
Yeah, I don't think we have another Ryan Allen, but I will say this. I was going to mention Matt Nelson and what he does with kicking and punting academy. And so I think that has more of a presence, especially in North Louisiana.
Marketing for Matt Nelson. Yeah. Go follow Matt Nelson Kicking Academy.
Yeah, he's joined it with Husted.
Michael Husted.
Husted Kicking. So he's done some good things, and, you know, you see he's got camps going on all the time for kickers and punters, and so – I think that's bringing a lot of interest to that position around here. I know that for sure. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe we snag one.
Maybe Matt Nelson hooks us up with one.
Maybe Matt Nelson does.
But you look back at the career Ryan Allen had. You know, wins the Ray Guy Award two times. After transferring from Oregon State, where he couldn't beat out Johnny Hecker, who Hecker is a Pro Bowl punter in the NFL. Like Oregon State can recruit the punters.
We sat with each other almost every game, and I've never been so excited to see a punter come on the field, because he would regularly, like, over 60 yards, I mean, with the bounce.
Felt like he, like, always put it on the two.
Yeah.
That's what I always felt
unbelievable.
Like.
Unbelievable. And that's a really important
position. It is.
And if you can pin people inside the 10, my God, you notice it when you don't have – a good punter.
Yeah, we've seen it year after year how important, you know, not only punting, but also kicking. You know, if you can get that touchback, you obviously don't give up a kickoff return or, you know, whatever it may be. Quality special teams can go a long way in winning football games.
Right, I was just thinking, Ben, I should have like a legend segment, because I forgot to tell you this, but the other day I played basketball with Jonathan Barnes. Took me about 3 to 4 pickup games before I realized it was him, and then my defense got real soft because I was scared I was going to roll up on his leg or something and end his potential NFL career. So, anyways, but I keep running into all these legends, so maybe, you know, that's my role here.
Maybe you are a legend.
It's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get to some Dunkin' Dog basketball. Dunkin' Dogs knock off Southern Miss Saturday night, 89-66. A game in which the Bulldogs shot 71% in the first half, knocked down 11 three-pointers, led by as many as 31, led 57-27 at the half before, like I mentioned, going on to prevail 89-66. I know your favorite player is Jacoby Boykins. It was nice to see Boykins 7-for-7 in the first half, 20 points. I know he didn't score in the second half. But
he didn't need to.
When he gets hot, he's as good as any shooter in the country. And we were talking about that at the game, actually.
Right. It was, I mean, I was asking you, you know, to give me a little more look into his, you know, defense and how well he plays. Because, I mean, we know he can shoot the ball, but I was inquiring about his future in the NBA. But he's, when he gets on fire and he's got, you know, he's got a little swag to him, you know. So he's high-fiving
the
courtside seats on his way down the court. And so for him to hit six in a row, that was exciting to say the least. And that's the kind of stuff that gets the Joe fired up.
Absolutely, Louisiana.
The Tack, not the Joe.
Both.
Ben.
Both.
Both. I mean, people were probably fired up in the Joe, too.
Yeah, watching from the press box. But Tech was again without Daquan Bracey. He missed, I think that was his fourth consecutive game. You know, the point guard continues to battle back injuries. I know Coach Eric Conkle mentioned this morning on the morning drive with Aaron and Jake that Day-Day was able to participate in practice yesterday. They were going to see how he felt today. I would imagine at this point it's probably a game-time decision Thursday night when Tech travels to Boca Raton to play on an to take on an improved Florida Atlantic squad led by 11-year NBA veteran Michael Curry. But getting Bracey back, pairing him with Amari Archibald, the freshman point guard who is really just coming into his own. He seems to get better and better every night. He had 14 points, 10 assists. Only one turnover against Southern Miss. I'm just extremely impressed with what Amari Archibald, Anthony DeRuji, Xavion Christian, and then Jacoby Pemberton had a huge night Saturday night off the bench. I think he played 19 minutes, scored 10 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Coach Conkle did a great job Saturday night.
Yeah, he had them dogs riled up for sure. And now when Bracey comes back, you think that's just going to be limited minutes right at first? Or how does...
We'll see. I mean, you know, I think it could be, but I...
With
you know,
an injury like the back, you just...
You got to be careful with it.
Right, and it just seems
and
like
been
something...
Out. I think they'll monitor his minutes for sure, but, you know, you have another body out there. I know Janiah White's out as well. Doesn't sound like he'll play Thursday night against FAU, which... could be big. I know they have big 7-footer Ronald Delph, who's averaging 14-9. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, getting Bracey back, putting him next to Archibald has to excite Bulldog fans to, you know, maybe see what can happen. See if Tech can. I don't think they're going to get back in the Conference USA race, but see if they can make a run at things in March.
Well, we talked about it last week, Jim, especially with Jalen Harris leaving, just taking some time for Tech to find their identity and. It sure appeared that that's what happened on Saturday night. It was a Tech jumped out ahead real quick and never let Southern Miss get back into the game. So good to see. It's only one game, but good to see nonetheless.
Absolutely. So this week, Louisiana Tech will travel to Florida Atlantic and Florida International. Always a tough road trip to take on the two Florida schools. Florida Atlantic, like Tech, 4-5 overall in the league, 10-11 overall. Florida International, 3-6, 9-13 overall. Pick up two big road wins this week, and I think the Bulldogs will be feeling good about themselves before coming home to quite possibly the most brutal home stretch down the stretch when they will host Old Dominion. Well, actually, they'll start with Charlotte. Then they'll host Old Dominion, UAB, Middle Tennessee in three consecutive ball games, which are probably the three premier teams in the league outside of Western Kentucky. So that's it for Bulldog basketball this week. Dunkin' Dogs in action, 6 p.m. tip-off Thursday night. Game will air live on Stadium. If you haven't ever watched a game on Stadium, it's live on Twitter. Really, really good stream.
Yeah, I've been super impressed with them. Yeah. That's been a huge
lifesaver. I know the Tech TV deal was talked about a lot, but I've been extremely impressed with Stadium and how that's worked out for Conference USA. So we're going to take a quick time out when we come back from the break. We'll talk with Brooke Storr, head coach of the Lady Texters. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
There are no bigger Tech fans than the Timms family at Fairway Carts in Minden, and there's no better place to buy a new golf cart, side-by-side, or utility cart than Fairway Carts. Fairway sells nothing but the best. Easy Go golf cars for the links or the neighborhood. Bad Boy buggies for that off-roading you do. And Cushman utility carts that mean work. Come see our full line at Fairway Carts in Minden. And go Bulldogs! Visit us online at fairwaycarts.net.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As we roll along, we're now joined on the Fairway Cards hotline by head coach of the Lady Texters, Brooke Storr. How you doing tonight, Brooke?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Just looking back at things, obviously you're in your second year as head coach at Louisiana Tech. Your Lady Texters currently sit 13-8 overall, 4-4 in league play. I know you guys had, a decent amount of roster turnover from year one to year two with breaking in seven new girls this year. What's the biggest change you've seen in your team from year one to year two?
Well, I think just that they understand the daily expectation of how we're going to come to work and how we're going to carry ourselves in the classroom, on the court, in the community. And I think that's, as you're establishing a culture and laying a foundation, that's the first thing that you have to do is they have to understand your expectations from a staff standpoint. I think they're really starting to get that. We had one player sitting out last year due to a transfer, and so it's basically eight new faces. So it's taken a little while to kind of gel and find that team chemistry, and I think we're starting, even after 20 games, starting to figure out how we need to play and who this group is.
Coach, I believe you guys were picked fourth in the league preseason. From your perspective, has the league been stronger than you may have anticipated in the preseason or about where you thought it would be?
Well, I think preseason rankings, I think every year those are going to be different, just affected by injuries. I mean, you look at the preseason player of the year for Middle Tennessee. She missed the first whole part of the season, didn't get healthy until I think she's played four conference games now, and so it's changed their season dramatically. They've been affected by that. If you look at they have the same overall record that we do, and each year I think it's different based on what injuries occur and how players develop. And I think that's why we don't put so much stock in the preseason rankings. I think we were picked 12th last year and certainly didn't finish 12th. So for us, it's about the process of getting better each day, and that's what we're still talking about with this group. We have yet to play our best basketball, and we haven't reached what we think this group can accomplish yet. So I think we started seeing some of that last week, even though we went 1-1 and lost to Western Kentucky on Sunday. We did some things that we've been really trying to get our team to do for the last 3 weeks and really focus in on. And So that's progress, and I think that if we can do that throughout February, then we'll set ourselves up nicely for March.
Well, and you mentioned the loss to Western Kentucky Sunday afternoon. It's obviously never fun to lose, but traditionally, you know, especially in the last couple of years, Western Kentucky has been one of the better programs in the conference. What were your biggest takeaways from that game?
Well, I thought we competed really well. I was very disappointed in our turnovers. You know, we had 14 turnovers in the first half that led to 20 points for them, and I thought we defended very well. It's just hard when you have live ball turnovers and you have to defend and transition and give up uncontested layups. Those are very difficult to defend. But other than that, I mean, they've got two of the best players in the league. I think they have the best player in the league in Tasia Brown. And, you know, we were in a three-point game in the fourth quarter, and they go to her. And I thought we had done a really good job on her. It took her 24 shots to score 25 points. And she made a couple of big baskets that we were, you know, we had contested well, and she made plays, and that's what great players do. But I felt like we did some things that we needed to do in order to take a step. And, you know, it's a team that beat Missouri, who's ranked in the top 10. They've beaten Iowa. They've beaten some really good teams throughout the country, and they can score it really well. You just can't give them and the team that's so efficient offensively and can score the way they can, you can't give them that many extra opportunities, and we just gave them too many extra opportunities on Sunday.
Well, and you really hit my next question. You talk about the turnovers. I know that was one of your main frustrations, especially in the non-conference portion of the schedule. And, you know, a lot of that could be attributed to some of the time that Kiara Lang missed at the point guard position. Outside of the game against Western Kentucky, how would you rate the improvement from your team in that area? And would you say that would be, you know, mainly one of your bigger emphasis on things going forward?
Absolutely, and I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And you look at our turnovers in conference play, they haven't been, I mean, I think we've been around 15 going into the weekend. And, you know, we had 11 on Friday night and just felt like we just allowed them to speed us up, and you know, they weren't, it wasn't like they were, you know, 94 feet of full court pressure. They changed defenses and played some zone and played a little, started out in a little triangle and two and had some gimmick defenses, but we just had a lot of unforced turnovers, and that just comes down to playing in stance, being poised with the ball, and just felt like we spent a lot of time on that each day, and as we start practice and really emphasize that. But, you know, again, I think it's just a matter of concentration and understanding how important and how valuable each possession is. And we've got to possess the ball, whether it's on defense and we get it back by a stop and a rebound or a steal, or we keep it on offense and get an offensive rebound and get to the free throw line and give ourselves an opportunity to score. So that's something that we've got to continue to work on and continue to focus on. And, you know, I'm not very patient with that. So we'll continue to force the issue with that, and I think our players will respond.
Coach, you touched a little bit earlier just on some of the improvements, the things that have gotten better. What's been the thing you've been most satisfied with throughout the season with this group?
Well, I feel like we've defended pretty well, aside from a couple of games. I didn't think we defended very well a couple weeks ago in Florida against Florida Atlantic and Florida International, but put them on the free throw line too much. But I feel like this group has defended. We played a lot of zone last year, played very little man just because of depth and trying to stay out of foul trouble, and felt like, you know, that was our best way for that group to win some games. And, you know, if you're going to be a solid man-to-man team, you've got to spend a lot of time on it. We did that in the summertime and then preseason. And, you know, it's just getting a feel for it and knowing and trusting that your teammates are going to be where they're supposed to be and help and communicating and being able to do those things. So I think I've been pleased with that. I think we're starting to take some steps to becoming a really good defensive team. If we can continue that, we'll give ourselves a chance in March.
And Coach, if I told you way back in November, obviously y'all had some big victories in the non-conference against Memphis, against Penn State in Las Vegas. If I told you here on January 30th that you were 13-8 overall, 4-4 in league play. I know you might not be satisfied with the 4-4 in league play, but what would your response have been if I told you that's where you'd be right now?
Well, I'd like to be 21-0, but that's not the case. You know, we in year two, you know, I want to win every time we tip it up, and we want to be out there competing and against the best and every single day. And for us to do that, we've got to learn how to win. And what the one thing I forget about with this group sometimes, because I don't ever look at it that way, is We've got one senior. And, you know, when you look at our roster, none of these kids have won a championship at this level. You know, we tell them all the time, you know, there have been two people in this, you know, on this staff and in this program at this point that have played in a Final Four, and only a couple or three that have been in an NCAA tournament. And that's myself and Scott and Lindsey Hicks, our other assistant. And, you know, these kids haven't experienced that. And sometimes you've got to learn how to win. And I feel like we've gotten down and we've been able to fight back and put ourselves in a position to win some games. You know, it was a big win, like you said, at Penn State early in the season in Las Vegas. And just those experiences, you know, one thing that I always say is whether it's good experience or bad experience, experience matters. And I think that this group, you know, I look back at, you know, at Skip and Coach Holtz in their football season of, you know, losing some close games early on and then being able to grind out some wins. And they had a lot of injuries and being able to figure out, you know, how to play without those guys. And those guys, those young guys, had to learn how to win. And you know, it paid off for them, you know, in the end, and was able to reach a bowl game and get a victory. And I think it's the same thing of, you know, winning is hard. And it doesn't matter what level you're at, where you are, winning is hard. I think you look across the country and you see teams be upset. And, you know, all these kids go to work every day and try to get better. And that's what, you know, we're just trying to put them in that position. And I think that you've got to learn how to win, and I think these kids are figuring that out.
Coach, I can only imagine that you've been asked this next question about 100 times, but now that you've been through a full season, what has it meant to you to be back in Ruston? I know that that Tech has a soft spot in your heart. What's that meant for you and your family, and has it been as seamless as you would have hoped?
Well, it's been a great transition for our family. You know, ideally, you want to be in a place where we have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old where they can flourish and be cared for and be in a great environment to learn and grow. And we couldn't ask for a better community in terms of Ruston for them to live and grow. And then for us, you know, as a work environment, you know, Tommy and Dr. Geis have been extremely supportive, not only to our staff, but our program and our athletes. And I think that's, you know, you want to be in a place where they care about your sport and they give you an opportunity to be successful. And, you know, I've had the opportunities to coach at a lot of places, and I always say this, but whether it be in the Big 12 or the ACC or wherever we've been, when you have a personal investment in a place and you've been a part of something that has given you so many opportunities, there's really something special about that, and you can't put a price tag on it. And it means a lot to me. I'm very honored and take great responsibility and pride in being able to lead this program.
Well, final question before we let you go. Big road game at Middle Tennessee Thursday night. What must y'all do in order to pull out a victory in Murfreesboro?
Well, we've got to be able to defend, but I think if we can get to 60, they're giving up about 52 a game, and they're very solid defensively. They're not real deep, but they've got a great player in Alex Johnson inside that can go get 20 and 10 every night. Like I said earlier, she's been injured, and we've got to do a great job of limiting her touches and her looks at the rim. And then we've got to be able to push and create some easy baskets and transition off their turnovers. So we've got to do a great job trying to get some easy points and generate some offense without having to set up in the half court every single trip.
Well, great stuff, Coach. We thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight, and good luck Thursday night.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me, guys.
Brooke Storr, head coach of the Lady Texters. Really, really good stuff. We've never had her own, obviously. I love what she's doing with the women's program that was in a bit of turmoil a couple of years ago when she took over. And you and I both see her, you know, not only at the Thomas Assembly Center, but she's out in the community, very involved. Good to have her back in Ruston.
Right. Like you said, coming off some turmoil, you just get that sense that she's just a good, solid and good at her job, and there's, you know, the team's buying in, and we're seeing some results. And so it just seems like she could be here a long time if she doesn't move on, you know.
Well, I think with her being a Lady Texter, having played for Leon Barmore, having seen Louisiana Tech at their highest point, who knows? I a lot of times I'm quick to say the Lady Texters will never be back to that Final Four caliber level, which that remains to be seen. But it's going to be very difficult to do so with the likes of Connecticut, with what Kim Mulkey's doing at Baylor. But Brooke seems like she's doing a great job, and I think the program's in good hands.
I agree.
So we're going to go ahead, take our final timeout. We're going to come back and wrap things up. We might hit a little bit on this proposed transfer rule that we talked about with Sean Fox in the 5 o'clock hour on the Sports Company. We'll be right back after this.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camped, biked, paddled, and hiked our state parks last year as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Good stuff from Bookstore in that last segment. Here we are, wrapping it up. Beck, let's get into a little bit about this transfer proposal.
This could be big time, BC.
Yeah, this could potentially... just looking into it, Dennis Dodd, if you haven't seen the article on CBSSports.com, wrote an article that was proposed, I believe it was by athletic representatives of Baylor and Iowa State, to allow players basically to transfer free of restriction, don't have to sit out or anything if a coach is fired or leaves the team. So the scenario would be, you know, say Skip Holtz takes a job at, you know, place X, it's a bigger and better job for him. Well, immediately, Amik Robertson's a free agent.
Ooh. Why? I mean, what is Baylor and Iowa State?
I don't know why they would want it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why they're the ones.
I think it could equally hurt and help every school.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that
probably hurt schools like Tech more because you have an Amik Robertson or somebody who had a big breakout year who was like, well, he got hurt his senior year.
Dropped
a little bit. In the recruiting ranks, and then Tech picks him up, and then he proves to be everything that everybody thought he was, and then we'll see ya.
Yeah, and Iowa State athletic director, he said, basically we're saying kids can go anywhere they want. For the first time in college athletics, the student-athlete is empowered. And, you know, we've heard the age-old debate, should college athletes be paid, blah, blah, blah. To me, it's no. You get a free education, be happy with it. And I know that's a terrible, you know, kind of a nonchalant way to put it, but as far as this rule goes, I think that when you look at the G5 level, it's no secret that, you know, the likes of Louisiana Tech, heck, we've seen it with Derek Dooley and Sonny Dykes. They've both been poached by Power 5 schools. So, you know, Tech immediately has a chance to lose, you know, maybe half of their roster. How do you handle that from a recruiting standpoint? Well, you also look at it from the point of, do you ever fire your coach or not, or do you just sit around and mingle in 2-10?
That was my point. Or is there certain players that, like, well, he has another year, we don't want to lose him, let's keep our coach that's 6-6, you know, or whatever, 5-7.
Because basically you would never be able to get rid of a coach if you struggled.
Right.
Without losing basically, you know, a good chunk of your roster if it was of any quality. And then you're rebuilding for the next 3 or 4 years until you can, you know, get your recruiting built back up to a quality base.
And then the mindset of players that are like, well, you know, I'll just go here until, and if it goes south, then I'll just leave, you know, when the coach gets fired. And there's not a lot of, I don't know, I think it's certainly interesting. I think there's certain schools and certain conferences that that would affect a lot more than others. But, I mean, that would – I think it would have a big play in the amount of coaching turnover.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's the argument. A lot of people feel like athletes should be able to, you know, go where they want to go. You know, the NCAA Board of Directors has mandated the Division I change its transfer rules in the next year. As far as this proposal goes, they're expected to, you know, vote on it by June, potentially, you know, may go in effect for the 2018 or 2019 football seasons. I don't think it will go into effect for 2018, maybe quick. Following the 2018. But, you know, I just don't know what to think about it. I haven't had a whole lot of time to think, to see, you know, because right now when you look at schools that do get penalized with infractions, you know, whereas they get postseason bowl bans, they do allow kids to transfer.
Right.
And I'm all for that rule. You know, if a coach messes up, let's let him, you know, let's let the kids get out of there and do what they want to do. But here's a question I have for you. So many times in today's world, I think Sean mentioned it on the Sports Company, that 40% of college basketball is transfer in today's world. That's just absurd.
It's absurdly high.
Yeah, but will this, if they put this new rule in, will kids begin to commit to a school more than a coach? I can't see that happening.
No, and that's the only perspective I can see is coming from the player of, like, if they did commit because of the coach, and then coach leaves, or, you know, you've heard stories about people committing and then before they get there, you know, yeah, the coach leaves. And so for a kid coming out, you know, if you had a coach come sit in your living room and that's who you plan to play for, and you know, now with social media and everything nowadays, and, you know, players, high school kids having a lot more accessibility to coaches, and it's just that can, if that's who they were looking to play for, I can see how that would be, that rule would benefit the player. But on the other side of that, as being a university, my gosh, I can't imagine never feeling like you have your grip on somebody, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, other prospective ADs have described this as panic, potentially the wild, wild west, college free agency, you know, whatever it may be. And it does go on to say in the article that if a player wants to transfer traditionally, he'll still have to adhere to the normal transfer rules of sitting out for a year, possibly being restricted by a few schools, if a head coach chooses to do so. And then Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard also says that, you know, in the event that your school is raided when your coach is, you know, fired or leaves for greener pastures, you know, there'll be the potential to, say, sign 35 guys. Well I think that's absurd, because who wants 35 new players having to play right away?
Well, think about this. What about if, you know, you're at whatever – I don't even know.
Baylor.
Okay, we'll say Baylor. And you get a job at LSU or Florida or something that's a bigger school, and you can go to the locker room and say, hey, y'all come with me.
No, you can't do that. That's part of the proposal, yes.
Well, how are they going to – so the players can't go to the school the coach went to?
Yes, he can't bring players with him. I think that's what I've read.
Okay, that makes sense. Otherwise, I was going to be like, he's going to take his players.
Yeah, and you know, he'd be like Nick Saban, be able to take his players with him to Oklahoma or, you know, wherever.
You get two buses.
Yeah. You know.
Load them up.
So it's an interesting proposal. I think I might be more for it if it was just for fired coaches versus coaches leaving for a different job. Because, and I say that because we see it all the time. Coaches are always leaving. I'm talking, you look at Scott Frost at Central Florida, he goes 13-0 and leaves for Nebraska. Those players don't need to leave Central Florida. They're 13-0. That team needs to be held together. So I think I'd be more for it if it wasn't for coaches that left for greener pastures, so-called, versus, you know, just only for a coach that's been fired.
That's a good point, BC.
So the transfer is what it is. Kids continue to transfer at an obnoxious rate. A few things before we get out of here. Beck, what you got for me?
We got a couple questions. Number one, looking at 2018, I'm going to go football here.
All right.
You didn't specify, but I'm going football.
All right.
Who's your breakout player 2018?
Breakout player 2018. Obviously, I don't think that Teddy Veal qualifies for this. I'm not going to say Jamar qualifies for this. He saw action in 13 games this year. Not going to say Jalen Ferguson qualifies. Amik Robertson broke out in 2017. I'm going to give you one on the offensive side, one on the defensive side. Offensively, I'm going to give you two names. It's easy to say this, but I'm going to give you Jaquiz Dancy.
I know you're going to say that.
I think the story is there. I think when you look at what he did in small sample size this year, he showed the talent that he has. Now that he has an opportunity to put some weight on, get healthy, I think he's going to have a big year.
And he's got everybody out from in front of him, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm not saying he's going to run for 1,700 yards. I'm thinking more of
he'd be tired if he
800 yards, 10 touchdowns. To me, that's a breakout from when you were 260 yards and two touchdowns.
Right, I agree.
And at the receiver position, I'm going to say Adrian Hardy. We saw flashes from Hardy a year ago. Missed four games due to a hamstring injury. Former Oklahoma signee. I'm going to say he really bust onto the scene this year and has a breakout. Defensively, he's been overlooked due to Amik Robertson. I'm going to say L'Jarius Sneed out of Minden. The sophomore had a really strong finish to 2017. I think he's poised to take a big step forward in 2018. How about you?
I'm going to agree with
Ryan
those.
Allen.
Yeah, no. We're going to have a punter breakout this year. I'm going to go. That Dancy was
that's
mine.
Who you're
that's
going
who
with.
I was going to say. But you already touched on that.
Yeah, well, you know, we read each other's mind. You're the average fan. The average fan wants Jaquiz Dancy.
That's right. He's got the story, like you
off.
Said. All right, I'm going to jump to number five because I like this one and I think it's going to stump you.
All right.
You're president less, guys.
How you doing?
What is your number one focus right now athletically?
Right now athletically, I think Louisiana Tech's done a great job in the past few years. I know Tommy McClellan's doing an outstanding job. Not only getting the Davison Athletic Complex built with the press box being built as well, I really like the deal that he did with NC State, the one money game, and then a home and home for Tech to follow that in 2025. I think he's doing an outstanding job along with Brooks Hull and the fundraising department. For me, what I would like to see is a multi-purpose indoor practice facility.
Was there ever talk of that?
Not sure, no, but I'm sure it's been mentioned. Fields. Yeah, I'm sure it's been mentioned, but I'd like to see, I'm not sure the logistics of where it'd be located, but, you could always use it for, multi, you could play intramurals in it. The baseball team could practice in it when it's raining. Same with softball. Soccer could practice in it when they need to. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
I don't even know. I'm not like a construction guy, but I got to believe that like a dome,
yeah,
would not that an inflatable one either.
It's not killer.
It's not killer.
And
it's not $15 million.
Here's one more thing
Maybe
I'll add.
Is.
Here's one more thing I'll add. I think that Tech needs to get a student fee implemented for athletics, whether it be per hour that you take, whether it's $20 an hour or whether it's a flat fee of $200 a quarter. I think that's a great generating for, revenue generator.
Right.
I know we asked that question to Tommy McClellan. He talked about the obstacles and hurdles that you have to overcome. But
right.
I think that's something that is on the table. And hopefully, maybe Tech can get that into place by this summer.
All right. Next question. Maybe.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. 7:27.
You don't even want another question.
Let's give me one more. Let me ask you, hypothetical. Skip Holtz sticks around 8 to 10 more years. Is there a chance he goes down as a living, a legend at Louisiana Tech? He has 15 years under his belt. That'd obviously be 14 straight bowl wins.
If he keeps going with what he's doing. Do I think he'll be around for 8 to 10 more years? Probably not, no. If he did, that means he's doing something right, but not – not
killing
like
it.
Killing
but I, or
but,
you know maybe he wants to build a legacy for himself.
Hey, I would love to have a coach come here and just say, I don't care if I go 13-0 7 years in a row, I'm staying.
Absolutely. So me too. I won't skip old stick around. I think if he really wants to build a legacy at Louisiana Tech, he surely can.
Skip, don't go.
We'll be back next Tuesday, Wednesday, like we mentioned, late signing period, February 7th. We'll have it covered on bleedtechblue.com. As a reminder, there's a signing day social that Louisiana Tech's holding at 11:30 a.m. next Wednesday at the Davison Athletic Complex. Real quick before we get out of here, Beck, who you got in the Super Bowl Sunday night?
I'm going to go with the Patriots because I'm usually go with the underdog and I'm always wrong.
Tapes, who you got?
New England.
That's who I'm going with. Tom Brady, the GOAT, 6 Super Bowls. We'll be back same place, same time next week. Thanks for listening. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
They just don't line up in the Super